Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Creepshow, based on the popular horror anthology movies, makes the leap from Shudder to AMC tonight. The mastermind of this terror trip, Greg Nicotero, joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Can't get to a game show to compete for cash prizes or that new car? Well, let the game show come to you, as BYU TV will do next week with Jeff's homemade game show. Jeff is in host Jeff Rogers. This is our Vogue next half hour, joined by his co-creating partners, producer Bob Marius and producer Bob Kopach. Just when we wrapped up Friday's episode, after we wrapped up that episode, I should say, we learned about the debut of Urban Flix TV, a venture with original content for multicultural talent. One of their first series is Pump, and our final 30 minutes features creator-writer director Corey Grant. Also ahead, news note quickies, Brett Fox does some NYC good in our up segment, and it's Sunday morning for our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, it's an anniversary Monday, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Welcome to you and you and you and you out there for joining us on the Pro Mobile Television, which today begins its 12th year on Blog Talk Radio, and we are delighted all about that. We have some wonderful guests coming your way over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. We make it so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. If you're shy about using the phone, it is no problem with us, because we got a chat room for you, and it's open and ready for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your blog post, speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. 66 degrees at the top of the hour. Absolutely beautiful here in the New York metro area. And normally at this time of the program, we do what's called news notes, the latest TV news of what is happening. But today we're going to bring you those news notes in quickie form at the bottom of the hour, because we have a very special guest to get to on this anniversary edition. He has built up a huge career as one of the top special effects makeup people in the business. If this wasn't a show about television, we would spend the entire 90 minutes talking about all the incredible films he's done, from Suicide Squad to the Kill Bill movies and so much more. And in the last decade, he has become one of the top executive producer directors of The Walking Dead, one of the great phenomenons in recent TV history, most Sunday nights on AMC. He is also the executive producer and one of the directors of Creepshow, the horror anthology based on the popular George Romero-made movies, way back when, that last year kicked off its first season on Shudder, the AMC spinoff network available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and tonight makes the move to AMC, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an air radio exclusive, Greg Nicotero. Greg, welcome in.
Thank you, thank you. Wow, what an intro. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, has just joined us. So if you have a question or comment for Greg, make the phone ring or use that chat and we'll get to you ASAP. Greg, how much of a surprise is it that AMC is picking up Creepshow so soon after its first season?
It's really, really exciting. You know, we had always hoped that AMC would find just find out what we love so much about Creepshow. So when we got the show going and Shudder played it on their streaming service, I think one of the best compliments was that the network saw what we had done, saw the heart and soul that we put into the production, and wanted to play it on AMC Network. So it was a big compliment to everybody involved.
How long had you and everybody involved with Creepshow thought about making this a series?
Well, you know, Creepshow, it's a pretty unique property. You know, I always felt that the original Creepshow was way ahead of its time. You know, in the late 70s and early 80s, when you had that explosion of genre material, it was a lot in part due to the advent of special effects makeup. And, you know, between directors like John Carpenter and George Romero and Tobe Hooper and Wes Craven, and then these makeup effects guys like Dick Smith and Stan Winston and Rick Baker and Rob Bottin, Tom Savini, you know, there was like this sort of perfect confluence of genre material and monster making and creature effects. So with Creepshow, I think Creepshow was one of the first movies that really was much more accessible because it wasn't excessively gory like a lot of the other films at the time were, but it paid tribute to EC Comics. So George Romero and Stephen King had the opportunity to write this little love letter to the stuff that inspired them. So for me, Creepshow is the same, you know, it's my chance to be able to give back. And, you know, we've been wanting to try to get Creepshow going, you know, we for about a year and a half. So we kind of jumped into it relatively simply and quickly.
What do people like the most about the series now that it's had the play on Shudder and is about to get on AMC tonight?
Well, you know, it really is accessible to a pretty broad range of viewers. You know, generally speaking, sometimes horror tends to be relegated to a specific demographic or an age group. But because we have a property that's based on movies that came out in the 80s, and we've also taken that medium and been able to create short segment stories. You know, I mean, each episode has two stories. We use the very colorful graphic comic books to change from one story to the next. So I think it's really accessible to a really broad audience and a wide audience. And fortunately, we have a lot of our Walking Dead fan base that's come on board to support Creepshow, plus people that love the original show and people that just love horror.
And the first episode has a story by one of your favorite writers, Stephen King.
Yes. Well, you know, I never felt that it would be Creepshow without a Stephen King story. You know, he was and continues to be such a strong voice in the genre and one of my favorite authors. So for me, it was the first phone call that we made. When we got the deal to do Creepshow, I reached out and basically said, we can't do Creepshow without you, and we'd love to have a story and have you represent it. And, you know, in an opportunity to go full circle, we also have a story by his son, Joe Hill. So I feel like Creepshow is a great opportunity to hear voices of some of the greatest in the horror genre in terms of writers. And I'm really proud of what we are able to do.
And I believe you directed the Grey Matter episode, the Stephen King segment that's on tonight.
Yes, I did. You know, I mean, I you know, the funny, interesting thing about it is I also had the opportunity to reach out to a lot of actors and performers that I had wanted to work with. So Adrienne Barbeau, she actually was one of the first people that I talked to, and she was like, listen, if you need me, count me in. Tobin Bell I'd worked with before, and Giancarlo Esposito I had done Breaking Bad with. So I found myself very fortunate that a lot of these actors, as soon as I mentioned Creepshow and what I was doing, they were in. So I feel like, aside from the great cast that we have in the episode, there's a lot of Stephen King Easter eggs in there. You know, it's sort of really a tribute to a lot of the material that he's written that's been produced by him that has terrified people for 40 years.
Unlike Walking Dead, which is a situation that you came in as an executive producer and then later on a director, you've done 30 episodes plus of that series. In Creepshow, you're in it from the get-go. So how do you approach doing this series where you now have the responsibility of, I've got to get the writers together, I've got to get the directors together, you mentioned the actors you're bringing together, and you've got to have them all fulfill your vision?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, in television, that's what the showrunner's responsibility is. He has to put together the team, you know, he picks all the stories, and this is very different because it's not an episodic where we have continuing characters, we have standing sets, we have a through line. You know, we had to create a new universe with a new sets new story, new actors every 3.5 days. You know, we didn't have a tremendous amount of money to work with, so every episode that you see, each story was shot in 3.5 days. So everything had to be dialed in. So I picked my director of photography, my production designer, makeup effects, visual effects. I felt very ready to step into that showrunner role based on all of my experiences on Walking Dead. And it was an unbelievable experience because I got to work with people that I had been friends with or I had respected or admired at a young age when I was reading short stories when I was a kid, and also getting a chance to work with up-and-coming directors like David Bruckner and Roxanne Benjamin. So I really feel like it was a challenge for me on every level, but I felt the responsibility to the Romero legacy to make sure that I did something that people responded to and did something that was meaningful.
You are hearing Greg Nicotero, the executive producer and director of The Walking Dead, and also executive producer and director of Creepshow, the horror anthology series that premiered last fall on Shudder, and tonight makes its AMC debut at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Greg joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour as we kick off our Blog Talk anniversary edition of the program All About Television. Happy to have you aboard. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. If a question or comment for Greg, make that call. Make it good. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple045. My name. Friday on Tomorrow Televised, we have another 90-minute edition for you, and we'll kick it off with Neville Kidd. He's the cinematographer that won the Emmy Award for Sherlock on PBS. He's now doing amazing stories with Steven Spielberg for Apple TV+. He will join us live from his home base in Scotland. And then we'll have one of the top producers of game show television. He did The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal for a decade on CBS. He is now doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Jimmy Kimmel, now on Thursday nights at 8 on ABC. The one and only Mike Richards will be with us. And this fall, he will become the executive producer of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. And finally, Tyler Perry's new series, Bush, begins on BET Plus Thursday night. We got one of the co-stars, Phil Mullins Jr. He'll be live with us. That's all Friday. Another 90-minute edition of the Fall All About Television coming your way, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Greg, many people get into directing from producing or executive producing or cinematography or sometimes production design. Very, very few come from makeup, come from hairstyling, come from sort of the really hands-on trades, if you will, beside the camera. What made you decide way back when to become a director, to become a producer, and go beyond just makeup?
Well, you know, anytime you're developing a special effect gag, you know, like I'll use the example of in Misery, you know, when Kathy Bates smashes James Caan's ankle with a sledgehammer. That was a gag that I was involved in designing with Rob Reiner, the director. So as you're getting into understanding how to do these illusions, you have to understand lighting. You have to understand cinematography. You have to understand choreography. So very much like a lot of directors, you have to understand what's going to happen before, how you're going to set up the shot, what's going to happen after. And so the transition for me really came out of the fact that special effects makeup people in many instances have to think like directors. They have to build to what the director's vision is and know how to create the illusion. So I feel like it's different than a lot of other departments on movie sets because of the way that we have to construct various elements that all have to play in concert to create a specific illusion. And, you know, listen, I've had the best film school in the world. I've been on set with Quentin Tarantino and Frank Darabont and Robert Rodriguez and Steven Spielberg. And, like, I've crafted illusions with some of the greatest filmmakers of our generation. You know, I worked on Casino and stood in the desert outside of Las Vegas with Martin Scorsese burying a dummy of Joe Pesci in the ground. So I feel like my career has given me these fantastic opportunities to see how each one of these directors works. And in many times, they work very differently than others. So I feel like I've had the perfect opportunity to be a part of Hollywood's history in the last 30 years and sort of absorb different techniques from different directors as I've collaborated with them.
And Greg, one of your contemporaries in makeup, Tom Savini, who has done his own incredible career of work in that genre, is also one of the directors on Creepshow.
Yes, listen, Tom, aside from us being very, very good friends for such a long time, you know, Tom was George Romero's makeup effects artist from Martin, Dawn of the Dead, Creepshow, Monkey Shine. So when I met George when I was a teenager, I kind of idolized him. You know, makeup effects guys in the late 70s and early 80s almost became rock stars. You know, their contribution to movies like The Thing and American Werewolf in London and The Howling, they were movie stars in their own right. So I apprenticed with Tom on Day of the Dead, and we have remained friends ever since, and that was in 1984. So I've known Tom for almost 40 years probably, and we continue to share our love for everything genre-related. So I wanted to sort of pay back the favor and give him an opportunity to direct on Creepshow.
By the way, you mentioned choreography. A lot of great choreographers have also become film and TV directors. People like Jerome Robbins, of course, who at least for a while did the original West Side Story, but people like Tony Mordente and a number of others in the world of film and television became pretty good. Herbert Ross became very good TV and film directors as well. What did you learn in directing The Walking Dead and executive producing that series that you took into Creepshow, especially when you're forming the whole premise?
Well, boy, that's a challenging question because I'm still learning. You know, trusting your actors, trusting your instincts in terms of how you block a specific scene, how to collaborate with your crew. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I took away from Walking Dead is, you know, I was surrounded with a tremendous number of amazingly talented people, and I realized the value of collaborating with your director of photography, with your stunt coordinator. You know, it's not just a singular vision that creates anything in terms of the industry. There really is. You surround yourself with the best people, and they make you better. And on Creepshow, I was really, really honored to be surrounded by a tremendous number of really talented people. And all you ever want is to bring the best out of each other. And Walking Dead, you know, I mean, I would say Andy Lincoln and Norman Reedus and all of the actors, you know, they were so supportive when I directed my first episode of Walking Dead. It was the first hour of television I had ever directed in my life. And Frank Darabont basically said, "You're ready. You're ready to direct. You know, we should have you do an episode." And I was so honored, and all the actors literally got around me and protected me. They wanted to make sure that I succeeded, and they wanted to make sure that I had a great experience and that I honored the spirit of the show. And being somebody who loves what he does so much and loves the art of filmmaking, you know, I couldn't have done it without them. And, you know, I mean, I'm really grateful to all of them, and I'm grateful to Frank Darabont and Gail Ann Hurd. And, you know, what I love about my job the most is that I continue to learn. You know, I mean, being a showrunner, understanding how to collaborate with directors and writers and actors, it really is an amazing experience. And every show that I do, I learn something new. So I feel like I'm still growing as an artist, and I've been doing this, been in the business for a long time, so it feels good.
Creepshow is AMC's new attraction, and it's been produced and directed by our guest right now, Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead, where he does both executive producing and directing. on that series, which is usually on Sunday nights, most Sunday nights on AMC. Creepshow will begin its run tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And by the way, it's already been renewed for a second season. Greg Nicotero is with us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live. Today, our 11th anniversary on this very website, and we thank all of you for tuning us in over that time, and we're kicking off year 12 in a big, big way. If, of course, you're coming to our main minutes with Greg, make a phone call and get you on the air, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We got another big show coming your way a week from today. Next Monday, we will preview a brand new network that will be launching on May 15th. We don't have the title of the network yet, but we do have the company making it happen. It's Mike Marzo Entertainment. And we will have the two co-owners of the service, the Martha Smith and Michael Lewis Jr. will be with us as our lead guest. Plus, we'll have the creator and writer of one of the original series that will be on that service when it debuts called Reverse. His name is Jermaine Collins. And then we have a very special second guest, the Peabody Award-winning co-creator and executive producer of Orphan Black, and now the executive producer of one of the most anticipated TV series of the year, which is premiering later this month on TNT, Snowpiercer, Graham Mattson. He will be with us live a week from today. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. It's a show you do not want to miss. And we may have some more people coming your way, too, for that episode. That's all coming up next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Greg, you are the first major person from The Walking Dead that has come on this program. We have wanted for years to have you or Frank Darabont or Angela Kang or Scott Gimple, any of the key people who make the show work. So we can finally ask, why do you think The Walking Dead has become the phenomenon it has?
Well, you know, Walking Dead has a cast of characters that is relatable almost universally. You know, Frank Darabont's pedigree was always putting together this amazing ensemble cast. You know, he did it on Shawshank Redemption, he did it on The Green Mile, and he did it on The Walking Dead. You know, he had always talked to me about wanting to do, I love to do a zombie story, I just don't know what the story is. He was a big fan of Night of Living Dead. And when we stumbled upon The Walking Dead comic book, it gave the perfect opportunity because it's all about survival. You know, I mean, Walking Dead is about how we survive in this world and what the cost of that survival is. So when you watch the original couple seasons, you know, there's someone to relate to. You have Glenn, you have Rick, you have Shane, you have Lori, you have Dale, you have Carl, you have Daryl. You know, there's so many people there, and each one of those characters gives the viewer an opportunity to be like, oh, that's who I would probably be in the apocalypse, or that's the person that I would want by my side. So you take this great sort of survival story and give it a little bit of a cowboys and Indians sort of flair, you know, because Rick Grimes is a sheriff and the zombies are the threat in a lot of instances when we first, you know, when we first started the show. So in that response, in that particular situation, The Walking Dead, through its characters, opened the zombie apocalypse genre to a whole new world of viewers. And listen, you got to give a little bit of credit, of course, to video games as well, because between Resident Evil and House of the Dead and all these third-person video game shooters, that made zombie genre mythology and zombie material accessible to, you know, 15-year-old video game players. So it wasn't just people that loved Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead, but all of a sudden it opened it up to this whole generation of people who played video games. So The Walking Dead was the perfect mix of the zombie genre and great characters and some cool makeup effects that we created. So it really took the best of all of these different subcultures and mixed them all together.
And you hit on the head there, Greg, which is subculture, i.e. tremendous diversity both in front and behind the camera. You relate to the people on the camera, in front of the camera. You also relate to the talent behind the camera, whether it's Ernest Dickinson, Spike Lee's former cinematographer, Angela King, the executive producer, is Asian American, or whether it is a Latino writer. There's tremendous diversity on both sides, and I think that also, you know, is a major success story in why this series is what it is.
Listen, and there always was, you know what I mean? Walking Dead really celebrated its strong female characters from the beginning, you know, and I think that that was something between, you know, Michonne, and then, you know, you think about Denai, you think about Sonequa Martin-Green, think about Laurie Holden, you think about Sarah Callies. There's always been this very strong female presence in the show. It was always intended to be that. And you know, the challenge, of course, is, you know, that now other shows are kind of stepping up and going, oh, you know, we really like the female voice. And, you know, we have great female writers. We have great female directors. We, you know, the show has been one of the shows that embrace that. And there's no nudity, so women are never objectified. It's really just about these great characters.
Mm-hmm. Craig, before I let you go, when do you think we're going to see TV production come back so you can have both Walking Dead and Creepshow being shot? And I believe it's both shot in Atlanta.
You know, I mean, I think everybody's waiting for that word. I really wish I could say, because, you know, with Creepshow, we were one day away from principal photography on season two. The sets were built, the actors were cast, the costumes were done. Everybody was ready to start shooting, and, you know, somebody hit the giant pause button. So it's really hard to say. You know, the most important thing is, you know, we need to make sure that the actors are safe, that the crew is safe, that people can go to work and feel confident that they're gonna be safe. So, you know, it's gonna be a new world. You know, I mean, the film industry, television industry, you know, all industries are changing, and it's really challenging. I mean, everyone's anxious to get back to work, but I think that we need to make sure that people feel safe. And that's what we're in the middle of crafting right now.
The good news is that Georgia is one of the first states to start opening up. I know Tyler Perry is working on a plan to get his studios back open, so maybe, just maybe, Georgia government is starting to pay attention. And who knows, we might see your shows, and et cetera, and Atlanta is a major production center, come back and bloom, and hopefully bloom better and safe as well. Creepshow, Season 1. Now on AMC, beginning tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local listings for where AMC is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, is www.amc.com. That's www.amc.com. That's Creepshow, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And don't forget to wrap the schedule, episodes of The Walking Dead, all over the place on AMC. Corey Nicotero, executive producer, director of both The Walking Dead and now Creepshow, thank you very, very much for joining us. It has been a pleasure all the way, and we'd love to have you back when the shows are back in production. We'd love to have you back anytime. It's an open invite.
Thank you very, very much. It was great.
Same here, Greg. Take care. All the greatest to both cast and crew of your shows, and let's hope that, again, things have a better, better future from here on in. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Greg Nicotero, executive producer and director on The Walking Dead and Creepshow, joining us live from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow We Tell Live coming your way. We have another hour in store for you, but first, we have some more from the fine folks at Audible.com. And if you haven't read the book, Where the Crawdads Sing by Gilly Owens, I believe it's going to become a TV miniseries. Well, you have to wait for the TV miniseries to happen. Check it out right now at Audible.com. It's one of three free books you can get with a one-month trial of this very special service. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. There's more than 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to it on any device, wherever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised, and you get three free audiobooks, one more trial of service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And by the way, two of those audiobooks are from the growing catalog of Audible Originals, everything from One Woman, One Man shows, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great original productions, all for you. It makes a great gift for you or someone you love, especially in these coronavirus epidemic times. So, for that one-run trial, pay for other books, don't wait. Get them all with audibletrial.com, that's our line, and hear for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Coming up in our next half hour, we're with a trio of people that's making Jeff's homemade game show happen starting next Tuesday night on BYU TV. Jeff Rogers, Paul Marriott, and Bob Kopak. So join us live from Chicago in the next half hour. And in our up segment, just very soon after we have BritBox's President here also on Friday, guess what? They're doing something very special for the first responders and medical people here in New York. We'll tell you all about that, too, and we'll get to all of that after you pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradiospreakerandtunein.com. Together, more than 40 million listeners tuning in every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the ongoing coronavirus news channel 24/7, giving you the latest news and updates on what's going on around the world with the coronavirus pandemic, plus original podcasts and other major material. The coronavirus news channel, pick it up anytime, hear it anytime on TuneIn Radio and TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more Floppy Tail Live. It's our anniversary edition, number 11, on Blog Talk Radio and getting into year number 12 today. Starting half hour with you live from New York, 663 at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us. More great guests coming your way in the hour ahead. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. We make it so simple for you. Just pick up the phone and dial in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple041. Green Beasley has just joined the room. Rick Webb is still in, so get involved. Sooner you do, sooner we get you involved. Throughout the run of this program, we have focused on unique programming available at Brigham Young University Television. That is the only national cable or satellite network that is operated by a major university. And guess what? They've got another major show coming your way next Tuesday night. It's called Jeff's Homemade Game Show. Think about this. Rather than you going to a studio and see a game show and maybe you get called as a contestant, the game show comes to you. Think of it as a mix of Beat the Clock and Minute to Win It, and Home Edition, if you will, Extreme Makeover. Well, the program is on this Tuesday night, May 12th. That should be next Tuesday night, May 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And first of all, joining us live from Chicago is the host and co-creator of Jeff's Homemade Game Show, Jeff himself, Jeff Rogers. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Simon. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's a pleasure to have you be part of it. And joining both of us are the two fellow co-creators and executive producers, also from Chicago, Bob Marriott and Bob Kopak. Hello, Bob and Bob.
Hello,
hey,
Simon.
Bob,
thanks for having
here.
Us.
Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. Jeff, we'll start with you. How long has this program, this game of doing things at home, has been the works for?
We've been working with BYU TV for about a year or so. Prior to that, we had been working on the idea of putting it together with a couple of different networks. But, you know, honestly, Simon, when we got in contact with BYU TV and really understood what their vision and mission was, we really loved the approach to family that they have. They create a lot of family-friendly content, and it's content that the entire family can watch at the same time. And that was a big thing for us in putting together the whole show. And a lot of things just clicked right away. And so as soon as we started having conversations, I think we all realized this was a good fit for them. It was a great fit for us. And we're off to the races.
Bob, did this come out of people being concerned that they could become game show contestants or like, you know, if I'm going to be a contestant on a game show, I've got to go to The Price is Right. I've got to go to Millionaire. I've got to go to 25 World or Less, Family Feud, and Beach.
Yeah, so Simon, actually, I'd let Bob Kopak speak to that since he originally conceived the idea.
All right, Bob, you got the floor.
Simon, you're exactly right. I mean, I grew up watching game shows, loved watching game shows. Merv Griffin, Goodson Todman, Chuck Barris, he was my hero. And I always thought, why can't the game show come to someone's home? So I thought of Bob Murray over at Worldview right away because he's done so much with reality television. I'm like, can we pull off a game show in people's homes? And he liked the idea, and it just kind of ran from there. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's about the opportunity for families to play together, have fun together right there in their own home, and be on a game show.
Yeah. And, Bob, how difficult is it to do a game show from somebody's home, because you're going, if you go from home to home, there's different settings, there's different environments, there's different, you know, you have to life set, play games instead of a different way. How do you structure the show from episode to episode depending on which homes play?
Well, Simon, when Bob first brought the idea to me, I thought that is going to be one of the biggest challenges right there. But, I mean, my history is mostly in the nonfiction space. So, you know, having worked with, you know, in the documentary space with folks like Barbara Koppel, Christy Jacobson, and then anybody that's come out of actual reality just about. So R.J. Cutler's program 30 Days with Morgan Spurlock, I worked on that, where, you know, we're working with folks that have a story to tell, but we want them to invite us into that space. So, you know, having that sort of groundwork and all that experience in doing that, I felt very comfortable that we could make that happen. And so from that, we gained the trust of those families. I'm very comfortable working in smaller footprints. So right away, we were going to scale production down. And right on from the very first time we engaged a family to the time our entire crew left, they were going to meet people that were not only very good at what they do, but were just good people. So that it was going to be a positive experience for everybody. And so from that, all the development of everything else, you know, just kind of, it didn't fall into place, but everybody was coming to the same place with the same mindset of these families and characters are going to be, you know, the most comfortable in their space, and so we have to help them stay in that space and stay in that frame of mind.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, given that Bob had the ability to work with Morgan Spurlock on 30 Days, doesn't know that was the FX series where every episode Morgan would be in a particular environment for a month and would have to get used to, in a particular job or role, what that environment was like, both his job and what was around him. Did you have any of that experience? I know you were involved with Second City for a while. Was there anything you could draw from Bob's experience that you could bring to the ability to go into somebody's home and be Mr. Game Show host, you know, in an improvisational way?
Well, it was kind of weird at the beginning because Bob said he had to move in with me for 30 days. So I didn't know why that was necessary, but we made it work. It was all right. I think that Bob's, you know, Bob's background, honestly, all three of our backgrounds sort of meshed really well. Going into people's homes and having fun with them was actually pretty natural for me. I come from a family of 11 kids, so there were 13 of us in the house at a given time. And my dad would make up games all the time. He would say things like, all right, we got to get the basement cleaned in 5 minutes. Do you think we can do it? No, I don't. Okay, if we do it, you guys get ice cream. If you don't, no ice cream. So that idea of kind of working together as a family and putting a game together was always part of growing up for me. So when Bob approached me with the concept, I was like, absolutely, this sounds fantastic. The improv comes in very naturally because improvisation is based on yes and being in the moment, which is great for game shows. It's great for dealing with people who aren't used to being on camera because their natural reaction is exactly what you want to capture. And it's so in the moment, which is where I like to be for any given activity that's going on. So it really translated well. I was able to help them play in the actual moment that we have in the game and be focused on that and take their attention off of, you know, the several people moving around with cameras, trying to get the right angle and trying to get the right lighting and everything, and have them focus just on having fun with each other, which worked out really well and was a lot of fun. The families were great. I mean, they were just a ton of fun.
We're talking about BYU TV's newest original series called Jeff's Homemade Game Show. It premieres next Tuesday, May 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time on BYU TV, which is available on cable systems all over the country. We've got the trio of people to make it happen, the host and co-creator Jeff Rogers, and co-producers and creators Bob Marriott and Bob Kopeck, all joining us live from Chicago, the Windy City, this half hour on Smarty Televised as we mark the start of year 12 on Blog Talk Radio. Coming up, I'm with you live from New York, where it's 66 beautiful degrees in the New York metro area, and we want to hear from you. So be part of the program. Get interactive with us. Play our game and make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. First of two exciting editions we've got coming your way this week. We have another one on Friday. We kick it off with the Emmy Award-winning cinematographer of Sherlock on PBS, Neville Kidd. His latest project, Amazing Stories, on Apple TV Plus, the reboot of that Steven Spielberg anthology favorite from the 1980s on NBC. He'll join us live from Glasgow, Scotland. And then, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is back on television, primetime on ABC. It was on Wednesday nights with Jimmy Kimmel hosting. Now it's Thursday night. And we got one of the key executive producers, our good friend from The Price is Right. And Let's Make a Deal on CBS, Mike Richards, will be in our second half hour. And by the way, he is now the executive producer and executive producer of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy as of today, getting ready for, hopefully, a new season starting this fall, hopefully on time. We'll talk to him about that and the new responsibility he has there at Sony. And Tyler Perry's got a new comedy that's premiering Thursday on BET Plus. It's called Bruh, B-R-U-H. And we've got one of the co-stars for you, Philip Mullins Jr., all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Bob Kopeck, how does the game play?
Well, we basically, Jeff shows up at someone's house and says, let's play a game. We go about 5 or 6 rounds of using items that are in their home. This is all about their home. Just as much as Jeff's a character on the show, the family's a character on the show, their home is a character also. So what we do, we come in with the games that we know that we can play there. We actually go ahead and scout things out, you know, obviously well in advance. We get ideas for the games from being in their home. We also have our own ideas, and when we get there, we see if, you know, they have the items available to do. So once Jeff goes through all the games, they get a little tougher as you go along with the different challenges for the family, everything from pulling paper towels throughout the house without it breaking to telling you whether or not the toilet paper roll is on top or on bottom, a little quick hit. You win money, you collect the money throughout the show. Then there's also Pat the Lucky Prize Truck that's waiting outside that throughout the show the people have a chance to delete the number of keys to Pat's Lucky Prize Truck, so the odds of them winning what's in the truck are greater at the end of the show for a grand prize. Does that visualize it enough for you there?
Good chunk. To further visualize, Bob, what kind of influence was classic shows like Beat the Clock or more recent shows like Minute to Win It have on the kind of stunts you do?
Well, definitely things like timing, obviously, and the challenges, but it's the challenge of using things in their own home, be it stacks of or cans of soup that we ask them to stack up to a certain height. We've got them, we find their favorite cereal. And we ask them to try to flip on a spoon, flip their cereal across a table into a bowl of milk. So definitely those ideas, those concepts of those challenges, but making sure it's things that we're using from their own home.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marius, how do you pick the – go ahead.
No, go. What's your question?
I was going to ask Bob, how do you pick the homes, the households that are going to play these games? And how much scouting do you do in terms of knowing that they're available at this time, they can they have these household items, so you're not caught unexpected by, oh, they don't, you know, at the last minute?
Yeah, so
Ms. Murray,
the casting, so the casting process was we worked with a great casting company here in Chicago that is very accustomed to reaching out to real people. And from that, we had hundreds of entries of families that were very excited about the idea. And so we basically were working with, folks that we could see the individual personalities, but then as a collective, the whole family was a, you know, created a unique personality of their own. Diversity across culture, interests, socioeconomic, age ranges, everything, sizes of the families. And so that was really what drove it. And so from that, then we were able to do, as Bob mentioned, you know, Skype meetings and then also scout those houses. And we really tried to minimize the limitations and bring much more of, you know, a lot of the work and preparation that we had done within, you know, gaming in general and game concepts. And, I mean, that was one of the things that I thought was going to be one of the bigger challenges when Bob first brought it to me, which was, are there going to be enough different games, you know, so that we don't have to repeat games? Like, if we do 12 episodes, you have 5 games per episode, you have 60 different games. Well, he, like, then emailed me immediately 100 different games. I was like, okay, I get it. We're going to be able to do this. So there's never the same game in any of the episodes. Throughout, and like Bob said, we came in with those ideas, but we always kept an open eye to what's unique about this family. So, for example, there was a family in some of our earlier development where the girls or the mom was a dance instructor, and the girls also danced in her class, but the dad had never done it before. And so right away on the spot, we thought, oh, let's have dad do a daddy dance off. And so, you know, dad had to perform these, you know, 4 steps of a dance. He had to learn it in 30 seconds and then repeat it within 30 seconds. And so it was those, one of those kinds of, that's an idea of some within the early development. So we brought those same ideas to all of the episodes and all the really, really great families that we met with.
And the families have no idea what the games are going to be. They don't know the room they're going to be played, inside, outside. They have no idea what we're going to use from their house when we walk in that day. So it is a surprise to them. And one huge element that I apologize to Bob and Jeff that I've left out is the fact that if they don't win the challenge, they actually win something from Jeff's garage. Jeff, do you want to expound on that at all?
Yeah, well, and that was part of the fun that when Bob first told me about it, you know, this idea of playing a game at home, then, okay, let's take that to the next level. If they don't win the money or the prize for a given challenge, then they win something for my garage. Often it's pretty, you know, it can be a broken lamp that I just haven't had time to fix yet. There was a door knocker that was missing a hinge. I mean, it's, you know, the idea of just playing around like that in terms of everybody's got this stuff in their garage and wants to get rid of it, but no one does. So this is a perfect way for me to get rid of that stuff and still have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Simon,
Jeff,
and Simon, yeah, too. Hey, what? Yeah, just one more thing on those games, too, is we are under the guidance of the same compliance. You mentioned some of the really big game shows of an upcoming guest. We're under the same compliance companies that, you know, handle those big shiny floor game shows. So we're still sticking to all the state and federal rules and guidelines and all those sorts of things, and we have some really great collaboration with that company, too.
Yep, standards and practices do not go away, whether you bring the game show to somebody or somebody goes to the game show. Standards and practices, always important. And I know from seeing a game show, it was a year ago, by the way, that I saw an episode with a friend of $100,000 Pyramid. And let me tell you, what they do before the show goes on the air, they start taping. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, and it's on to benefit both contestants, but also to prevent any foul play from going on. Jeff,
you got it.
Did you? Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, did you go to households in a specific city, or do you have a chance to go different parts of the country, depending on where the contestants were?
So for this round, we sort of centralized based out of Chicago. We moved into Indiana and the Midwest region, and that was just in terms of the ease of production. The goal is to really broaden that out across the country. We really are looking to do homes of different types, right? Which that could be a fraternity house. That could be a apartment, a condo. That could be a firehouse, you know, where all the first responders are living while they're on duty. A home is we consider it a home more than a house because a house is a, you know, kind of definitive thing. We want to be – that's why it's a homemade game show. Wherever your family's living and whatever your family is comprised of, you can play this game too. And we wanted to open that up across the board. So that will be the goal going forward, is to be able to hopefully play in a lot of different locations. A tiny house, it will be very small games, but I think we could do it.
The trio behind Jeff's homemade game show on Brigham Young University Television, the host and co-creator Jeff Rogers, co-creator and producers Bob Marriott and Bob Kopich, are all with us live from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Found out we'll do live from New York. Glad everybody's phone call coming up shortly. I think I know it's from who, but we'll get to that call in a few momentos. But first, we'll let you know that next Monday, we're going to showcase a brand new television network that will be launching on smart TV sets and smart TV devices on May 15th. We've got the co-owners, Lorenzo Smith and Michael Lewis Jr. will be on. The project is, the company name is Mike Mars Entertainment. We don't know what the name of the network is. We'll find out for you. And we'll also have the creator writer of one of the upcoming scripted shows that will be on that service. It's called Reverse, Jermaine Collins. And then Graham Exon, who with his partner John Fawcett co-created the Peabody and Emmy Award-winning series Orphan Black, is now back with us with Snowpiercer, the long-awaited TV series based on the bombshell Who movie, will be coming later this month on TNT. Graham Exon will be with us live. He'll be our second guest a week from Monday, a week from today, 3 days to Noon Pacific right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. You do not want to miss. And now let's take our call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, it's been a long time. We're delighted to have you here. I'm thrilled you're part of our anniversary today.
And yeah, before I ask my question, I definitely wanted to say happy 11th anniversary, Simon.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a wonderful pleasure being here on Blog Talk Radio, now Spreaker, now Tuna Radio has joined us this year, and hopefully many, many more with this particular web destination. And I'll have more to say about Blog Talk at the end of the show. All right, Rick, go ahead with your question.
Okay, I just noticed, so I had a call in because you guys talked about standards and practices, but then right before that mentioned about giving away broken lamps as prizes. So I'm wondering like how far you can go with prizes. Like, can you give away chainsaws and stuff on like with standards and practices, or how is that covered?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, it's usually just stuff from Jeff's garage that doesn't work, and it's usually kind of pretty that's, you know, a little bit of a silly story behind it and things like that. It's, you know, it's just that little bit of consolation prize, actually. So, you know, for kind of during the episode. And then within the grand prize, that's when, you know, they're getting something that's typically catered to that particular family. So we've gotten to know the family. The audience has gotten to know the family. We get to share a lot more of sort of the audience, the family dynamic. That and so usually that leads up to what the grand prize would be. And yeah, we, you know, it's still a family friendly, kid friendly kind of thing. So we definitely don't want to take any risks doing something like a chainsaw.
Okay, well, thanks. And that's the question. Is there anywhere to see the show other than BYU TV, like YouTube, or does it air other places?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bob, you want to speak to that? Or Jeff? Yeah, go for it.
Jeff, it's actually on quite a bit of different platforms. I mean, you can watch it on Dish TV, DirecTV. It's on over 50 million different homes across the country and a bunch of different major cable systems. But you can also watch it online at BYUTV.org, which is their free streaming service. They stream all of their content for free, and you can go there and watch all of their shows for free. So no ads, no in-app purchases, anything along those lines. It's a very cool setup, actually. It's all open, all free, all the time. Cool.
Yeah, I think
if
you go to BYUTV.org, they'll have a listing of how you could pick it up and how to download the free app to even watch it mobily.
Awesome. Well, continued success, guys. I'll definitely check it out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.
Hey, thanks.
Absolutely. And thanks, Simon. Happy anniversary again.
Thank you very, very much, Rick, and thank you for being one of our great, great callers. You always come through with wonderful questions. It's been a pleasure to have you on all these years.
Thanks, Simon. You too. Take care.
You're welcome. Take care. You got it. Rick Rowe, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Just before we bring this to a close, did you get any coaching from any game show hosts out there in terms of how you'd be as a home game show host?
You know, that's funny. I didn't think of making a call, reaching out to some friends. So I came up through Second City with Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert and Tina Fey, and a bunch of great talent, super talented people. But the idea of going in and hosting a game in a home was so comfortable to me that I felt like that was sort of like going home for me. And it really did turn out like that because I got to have so much fun with the families. But maybe we'll see how the season goes, and maybe I'll make a call after this season to get some coaching if I need it.
Yeah. By the way, you know, there's another more recent BYU TV production called Comedy IQ, hosted by Wayne Brady. Maybe you ought to at some point get, you know, you guys and the Comedy IQ guys, which we had a program a couple weeks ago, you all get together and swap, you know, stories.
Absolutely. We're talking about that.
Yeah.
We're talking about that with BYU TV. Hey, Simon, I just wanted to mention too that we're also very, when we first developed this last year, we had no idea how relevant it was going to be today. I mean, today's challenges are real, and we get it. And the fact that people need to be at home, and may not necessarily that be their choice. A lot of them are looking for ideas on how to engage their kids, especially outside the digital space. It's really hitting home now that this show can just help them just take a little break and just kind of reset a little bit by not only being engaged with the show itself and entertained, but then being inspired to maybe go and play the games. And this kind of gives the parents a little bit of a template of how to do that. And maybe, or if the kids, they're having so much fun watching it, then they inspire the parents to go and play. And that's kind of always been Worldview's objective in all the programming that we've tried to do in the past.
BYU TV brings you Jeff's Homemade Game Show, hosted by Jeff Rogers. It's next Tuesday, May 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on BYU TV. Don't forget to check your locals for where BYU TV is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, or if you're not in the BYU TV area and you want to see the show, here's where you go, www.byutv.org. That's www.byutv.org. And that's also where you can find Wayne Brady's Comedy IQ, which premiered a few weeks ago. And if you want to catch the interview we did to produce the back show, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. I think you will enjoy that interview very, very well. So to our trio from Chicago, Jeff Rogers, Bob Marriott, Bob Kopich, thank you all for being on. Good luck with the series. Hopefully the beginning of a wonderful long run.
Thank you very much,
Simon.
Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Jeff, Bob, and Bob. Take care. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Jeff Rogers, Bob Marriott, Bob Kopich, all joining us live from Chicago, Illinois. And now it's time for our regular feature, Up. Short for update, where we catch up on some of the guests and topics we have had on this program. Last Friday, we had our second guest, Fiona Sherman, the President and Chief Executive Officer of BritBox. She was in New York when we talked to her last Friday, and now we know why. Here's why. Because now BritBox has launched a campaign to offer 10,000 free subscriptions to its service to local healthcare workers and first responders, and that is quite special. That's 10,000 free subscriptions, I believe they're year-long subscriptions, to BritBox, to various local healthcare supervisors at hospitals, first responders, emergency medical personnel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that is really terrific, and that's why I wanted to spotlight it today in our segment. And, of course, you can find out more about what BritBox is up to at BritBox.com. And if you want to catch the episode that we did on Friday with Silver Ceremony, the President Chief Officer of that service, known as the Netflix of Great Britain, Colbert or BBC and ITV, well, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check out the podcast available on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. When we come back, shortly after we went off the air on Friday, a brand new network got going called Urbanflix TV, and we got one of the people making one of their original programs happen. From the new scripted series Pump, we will have the creator, writer, and director, Corey Grant. He joins us live from California, IA, and we'll also have a show to know that you can find every Sunday morning. It's been around for 41 years. All of that after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and TuneInRadio.com, all together, bringing over 40 million listeners around the world in touch with themselves and the world every month, and growing. Don't forget, one of BTR's top-rated shows, week in and year out, the TV Unplugged Show comes your way tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's the TV Unplugged Show. It's always a popular tune on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And don't forget, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on our anniversary edition, starting year 12 on Blog Talk Radio today. And what were those just joining us at the top of the hour? Simon, I'm with you live from New York. If you have questions or comments for our guests, I think we have some questions already lined up. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, our chat room is still open. We've got people in the room, and they're waiting to hear you as well. So go to it, SimonApple04. It's at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up later in the half hour, we will have our show to know. It's a show that's been around at CBS for 41 years, and it's doing better than ever. But first up, when we signed off on Friday, we didn't know it, but there was a new network, actually two networks that were launching on smart TV sets and smart devices that day. One of them dealing with the world of unidentified flying objects, conspiracy theories called Unidentified, and being carried a number of the multi-channel patents like Pluto TV and others. The other is Urbanflix TV. That's right, it's called Urbanflix TV, and it's a service that's available on Apple TV, on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and television sets with the Android TV operating system. It's all about original programming produced by and aimed at people of color and the rest of us as well. We had hoped to get the chief executive of that service. Unfortunately, he's not available today, but we hope to get him at some future date. However, we got a great treat for you. One of the first programs that premiered on Friday is called Pump. And joining us live right now from Woodland Hills, California, is its creator, writer, and star, creator, writer, and director, Corey Grant. Corey, congratulations. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Simon. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Congrats to you and your anniversary.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you on as part of our anniversary show today. Corey, first of all, congratulations on getting this show on. How long have you been looking at putting the show on the air someplace?
Well, this show originally had been thought of maybe like 7 years ago, and it was under a different title. It was called Crunches at the time, and I wanted to do a show that takes place in the gym. And under a bunch of rewrites and trying to revision it, trying to find a good grasp of it, I couldn't really nail it. So I put it up. And then, you know, with the event of more streaming networks and cable shows and audiences looking for more edgier TV, I completely revamped it, made it a little bit more edgier, realistic, and funny, and took maybe about 7 years to get it up to air. So I'm very excited about it.
Mm-hmm. We've got some calls lining up. We're going to get to one of them in a moment. But first, did Urbanflix find you, or did you find Urbanflix? Who found who?
No. Urbanflix is its own streaming platform. It's established by Herb Kimball. My casting director / producing partner, Phaedra Harris, is executive for the company. So she knew about this show that I had in the burner while we were working on different movies, and asked me about it, and then thought it'd be a great fit for the new network. So that's how we got going.
All right. Corey, I'm going to take some calls. Let's do this first one, and let's see who is on the other end. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
All right. I'm sorry. There we go. I think we just got the person on the tail end. Hang on for 1 second. And
okay.
All right, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Linda calling from Washington, D.C.
Linda, good to have you on. You're on the line with Corey Grant from Pump. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say congratulations on the show. I've been watching, and I love it. I'm enjoying the program, and I really found it to be really funny. So I just wanted to say congratulations. Job well done. Looking forward to the next season.
Well, thank you, Linda. I appreciate it. Spread the word.
Absolutely.
What did you most enjoy about the show?
Linda, before you go, have you seen some of the other shows on UrbanFlix? And if so, what do you think?
I haven't started watching the other shows because I just tuned into the network really to see Pump. I saw information about it across social media, so I got a subscription so I could check out Pump. But I am going to check out some of the other shows. And to answer your question, Corey, I really enjoyed the realistic storyline and the humor. It didn't feel forced. It felt like these are real situations, real people, and it was very relatable. So that's what I really enjoyed.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Linda, for watching the city, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you being part of our anniversary show. And keep listening, okay?
Thanks so much, and happy anniversary.
Thank you so much, Linda. Linda from Washington, D.C., joining us here on Talk Radio. We'll take another call in a moment. But first of all, what did you want to say about how gyms work or how people in gyms work in your series?
Well, as you all know, everybody goes to the gym. In-shape people, out-of-shape people, all races, creeds, and genders. And I look at it as a big melting pot, almost like a barbershop. You know, people find their significant others there, their wives, girlfriends, gossip, or whatever. And our gym is set in a gentrified Inglewood. So Inglewood's become a gentrified, and it's about a fitness trainer who has a fall from grace and is forced to go back to a gym where he started. But to his surprise, everything and everybody's kind of moved on without him. So he's trying to kind of reestablish himself. He was like a big mogul that lost millions of dollars, and now he has to build himself back up. So going back to an Inglewood that's not gentrified, it's a completely different type of situation. You have people of all different races, creeds, pay brackets, all, you know, bound together in this one gym. So hilarious antics take place. And it's just like kind of like an edgy style. Like I'm a big fan of Jody Hill with the Danny McBride with the Eastbound and Down, and then Vice Principal, that real edgy comedy. And I just thought there was nothing like it as far as dealing with a multi-ethnic type of a cast. And so that's kind of what the style of Pump, where I kind of revamped it to make it a little bit more edgier and have fun with it. So the world we built had no bar, like no limitations. The network really allowed me creative control to do whatever the hell I wanted to do. And boy, did we do it. We went far with it.
All right, let's take another call. We have a lot of people lined up in the line, so bear with me. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Hello, Iran from Abi Tel Aviv. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. All right, let's try another call that just came in the last minute or two. Here we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, can you hear me?
You're on, go ahead. What's your name?
Hey, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
We hear you.
That caller dropped. All right, let's try another call. Let's see what happens here. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Tell Lies. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead. Hello. One more moment. Come on in if you're on the line. All right, we'll try to get those people back on. Actually, it looks like the person that was supposed to be online a moment ago is back on the line, and let's see if we can get that person right now. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Tell Lies. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, you're on the line. Go ahead. What's your name?
Awesome. How y'all doing? My name is Jamal Avery from Kenton, North Carolina.
Jamal, great to have you from North Carolina. Happy to have you here. You're on the line with Corey. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say shout out to my man Corey. I want to say it was an amazing, amazing first premiere. And I wanted to ask you, I know you mentioned it took you about 7 years to kind of get everything, you know, on board and ready to go. So I wanted to ask you, you know, when you talk about, persistence and just keep going when things get rough and tough, how did you kind of keep that motivation to keep pushing to actually see it actually on the air now?
I mean, basically, you really just have to know that at some time, you know, things have to line up correctly and having that faith that that's going to happen. But you don't wait for it. You start creating other opportunities and projects. I was doing movies in between, and it just always just kept this show in the back of my mind on the back burner.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's kind of what it was. Just it was the right time and the right climate. I was able to pull it out.
Yeah. No, man, that's what's up, man. But, no, congrats on the premiere, and I know it's going to be a lot of great things in the future for sure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Spread the word. Spread the word.
Got you, boss man. You already know.
All right, you got it. To our caller from North Carolina, thanks for coming aboard. We really appreciate it. All right, there we go. This is what we love about this program, and we've been doing this now for, actually, we're in our 13th year because we were on NowLive.com before. We were on Blog Talk starting in the first Monday of May, 2009. And that's what we love about this show, the opportunity for you, our audience out there, to interact with the guests that we have on, the best and the brightest in the world of television. And this half hour, that best and brightest is Corey Grant. He is the creator, writer, and director of Pumped. It's one of the brand new scripted shows on UrbanFlix TV. It premiered this past Friday on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV. And if you have a smart TV set that has Android TV as their operating system, you can get that program and the service. Corey joins us live from Woodland Hills, California this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So I'm going to be live from New York. Stay tuned. Much more coming. By the way, we promised you news, no quickies. We'll have them for you about 20 after the hour. And we have a show to know. It's one you probably do know. And we better talk about it because it's now in year 41, Sunday mornings on CBS. I think you know what it is, and I think you'll know why it is a show to know. If you have any more questions or comments for Corey, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name. Let's take another call right now. They're piling up like crazy. We love it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow. Tell me, what's your name and where you're calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead. All right. I think we got the person.
Okay.
All right. Hello, you're on? All right, I guess not. Okay, we'll try again in a little bit. Corey, how easy was it for you to get this series on the air? And it sounds like this is the first time that you have put a show of your own creation on. Is this something you always wanted to be, a creator, writer, director?
Well, I've been making movies for maybe the last 10 years. I've done several features that have done really well for me. But TV was, long-form content was the thing that I really wanted to get into. But at the time, you know, TV is a whole different ballgame. But the joy of being able to sit with some characters and watch them develop over a longer period of time was always something that interests me. So it was just a situation where, you know, making your own situation instead of knocking on doors. And with that mentality, I've been able to be in the industry for a number of years until the doors miraculously started to open. So, you know, with this show, you know, we got Ray J, the infamous Ray J is our lead of our show, Jennifer Freeman from My Wife and Kids, McKinley Freeman from Hit the Floor, Lynette Michelle, who's also one of the stars and the co-creator with me, who I produce with and write with, Christian Torres, Villalobos, and Cynthia Rodriguez, and it also stars Redrick Williams, and then Michael Jai White. So we had a real nice all-star cast that jumped on board the show, and I'm just really excited about it and how edgy and how fresh it is.
Yeah, I tell you, when you get people like that in the cast, no wonder the excitement is there. Let's try another call and see what happens, or hear what happens. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello? All right, let's try another call. Let's see what happens right over here. Stand by for a moment. There we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello, hello. All right, we're going to try one more person on the line. Let's be right here. Let's give this a try. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? What city? Hello, hello.
Technical difficulty.
You're on the air. Go right ahead, please. All right. Hey, to those of you that are on the line, hang in there. When we tell you that you're on the air, just go right ahead and talk. That way we get you aboard. Let's try one more time with this particular caller, and hopefully this is a charm. All right, hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, go ahead. Whoever's on the other end. Hello, hello. All right. There we go. Apologize to the for whatever the technical breakdown is along the way between you and me. We'll see if we can try to get some more calls. So hang in there. We will try to get some of our callers who have been waiting patiently. We thank you for that on the air shortly. Corey, are you surprised? It seems from the calls we have had that people have really discovered this network pretty quickly because Urban Flips TV did not get any press in the entertainment trades until today, and even not today even as well. No Hollywood Reporter, no Variety Stories, no Deadline Hollywood Daily. Haven't seen the New York Times or the newspapers. It's really remarkable that the word has really spread.
Oh, man, it's amazing. And it's just in social media. The network decided to launch early due to the pandemic. They weren't ready. And we took it upon ourselves and all the other creators of shows and actors to just really get it out there through social media. I mean, the commercials are starting to run on TV, I think today or tomorrow on national TV. But it's just been miraculous, and people are finding our show in particular and all the rest of the shows. But Pump has just been something that I think I knew when we were creating it and shooting it that we were making something very, very original and different that people were going to catch on to. Because once they, you know, people expect it to be like a regular comedy TV show. But I think to the level of the stories that we're telling, the type of comedy, the heart that we're doing, and most importantly, the edginess. I think a lot of times when you're dealing with a lot of, with TV executives and studios, the executives come in and try to control the creative. And I get that. You have mandates, you have things that you have to kind of, you know, fall in line with because it's broadcasting. But when you just let your creators do what they do, no holds barred, let them create, you really can come up with some great content, some great stuff, and I think that's what happened with Pump. And I think people are really catching on to it. The word is spreading like crazy. My emails and DMs are blowing up. I'm seeing crazy stuff all over social media, and we're just getting started, so I'm excited about it.
All right, let's try to take one more call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, hello. Hello. Go ahead. If you're there at the other end of the line, go right ahead. I will try one more person, and then we will start to wrap things up. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, hello. All right. Afraid we're not going to get to that person. And all of you that have called in the line, we really appreciate your patience. We're sorry we couldn't get to everybody, but we did get to a few people early on, and we do appreciate that. And we hope you make us, by the way, a regular habit here on the program. Corey, before we leave you, two things. One, what is your hope for Urban Flix as a television service? And secondly, if you decide to go to a second season with Pop, how do you want to take your creation? Where do you want to go in season two?
Urban Flix, I'm thinking that it's a great outlet for many different types of stories, creations. It's a very diverse network in terms of it takes everything, anything that relates to people in general, what the makeup of our world looks like today, they play to. And I'm thinking that it's really going to take off. And from what I've heard today from the CEO, their subscriptions are going through the roof. So I'm very happy for them. So I think it has a very bright future. And as far as Pump, I mean, we're going to go take it even further in the second season. We're already in the middle of developing the second season and writing it so we can start shooting when we get out of this pandemic. And we're just going to try to explore our characters even more. We're going to have more celebrity guest stars. I mean, we had Oba Babatunde this season. We had even the infamous Gary Busey on the episode and a ton of other people that contributed. So we're going to take it even further for the second season and really push the envelope even further. So you guys, check it out, man. Our website is pumpseries.com, and then you can find the show on urbanflixtv.com.
You know, Corey, it's incredibly appropriate that you are with us as we get to close this anniversary episode, because one of the things that we have been committed on this program from the get-go, and we started in 2007, and we started here on Block Talk Radio in 2009, many, many first Mondays of May ago, is to expand what's possible for diversity on television. And we've been very thrilled with all the great guests we've had on, dealing with shows aimed at African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, Native American population, which we had a segment on last week. And so it's really appropriate that we end today's show in part with what could be a new network of the future, a network that just started and already is getting a lot of attention. That really, really is great. That network is Urban Flix TV. And again, you can catch it if you have Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, or television sets with Android TV as the operating system, Sony, I believe, Philips, other TV set manufacturers. For more details about the service and about Corey's show online, here's where you go, urbanflixtv.com. That's urbanflixtv.com. And while you're at it, check out all the interesting scripted and unscripted series you'll find there. I have a hunch that this network is going to become very, very big, and we will try to get the key executives from the service on a future episode. Corey Grant, creator, writer, director of Pump, one of the first Urban Flix TV shows, thank you for coming on. Congratulations on the early success. Hopefully a great long run with your program, but more importantly, a great long run with the service that you're on.
Thank you, Simon. I really appreciate you having us on.
You're very, very welcome, Corey. All the greatest. Celebrate this week and beyond. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Corey Grant, creator, writer, director of Pump on Urban Flix TV, joining us live from Woodland Hills, California. Now, as we promised earlier, some news note quickies. Terry Arrow, the morning show's showrunner, will extend her program development pack with Apple TV Plus. Former CBS executive Christina Davis will join Starz, the original Pony president, replacing Carney Zopnik. Nicolas Cage will make his TV miniseries acting debut as notorious Tiger King subject Joel Exotic. I'm not making this up. This was announced earlier this afternoon. 8 episodes are planned, with the network carrier details forthcoming. CBS has bagged plans for a TV series adaptation of the Lincoln Lawyer novels. No work series with Daisy Kelly's lead producer will attempt to find a new home. Game Show Network gave birth to spin-off service Game Show Central earlier today with Samsung Smart TV sets. Again, Samsung Smart TV sets, that's how for right now you can get Game Show Central, the spin-off of Game Show Network. And CNBC will present a live Rise Up New York special next Monday night. Tina Fey will host the hour, simulcast on New York ABC, CBS, NBC affiliates. Proceeds will go to charities in the New York metropolitan area dealing with the coronavirus epidemic. And now it's time for our regular feature we call Show Today, where we highlight a program that we think is worth your watching. You might not know about it because it's either not promoted or marketed or publicized a lot, or it falls on the radar screen of critics and journalists, or if the show is a classic that may have just come on in some way through YouTube or some other means. Well, our Show Today is very apropos for our anniversary special, because it comes around the 41st anniversary of one of the great TV series of all time in any genre, CBS News Sunday Morning. Created by the late producer Robert Northshield and journalist Charles Carroll, from the get-go, Sunday Morning has been the equivalent of a Sunday morning newspaper, a good Sunday morning newspaper that has a cover story, a sports section, an arts and culture section, a business section, an interview page, a whole lot more. And from the get-go, Sunday Morning has been beautifully put together from week to week, with great correspondents, currently people like Lee Cowan, Aaron Moriarty, Martha Teichner, Rita Braver, Tracy Smith, a whole bunch from the great crew at CBS News. Plus, wonderful, terrific colleagues over the years doing special editorial pieces like Eugenia Zuckerman, John Leonard, the former TV critic, Ron Powers, Ray Genoff, the great sports writer for many CBS programs, and a whole lot more. Charles Carroll was the original host of CBS News Sunday Morning for the first 15 years. Then it was Charles Osgood, and since 2016, Jane Pauley. And if you haven't seen CBS News Sunday Morning, I want to give you a great introduction to it. Last year, Town Hall did a special live Sunday morning hour featuring many of the correspondents and Pauley together, hosted by Mo Rocca, who's also one of the contributors to Sunday Morning. It was done out of Town Hall, great stage facility. And if you want to catch that wonderful hour, you can check it out now at YouTube. But if you've never had a go with Sunday Morning, check it out. It's got everything, including, toward the end of every episode, a great moment of nature. CBS News, Sunday morning, always opening with that great trumpet fanfare. Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on your local CBS station. For more details about the program online, CBS.com or CBSNews.com. And if you've never tried Sunday morning, please make this Sunday, the upcoming Sunday, the way you do it. You know, one thing I think about Sunday morning is that it always is a great pleasure to watch that show. And it still is. And that's giving it something to say when you have a show 41 years on the air. Before we wrap up, I want to say a vote of thanks to Blog Talk Radio for having us on this very web destination for the last 11 years. The thing that I treasure most about Blog Talk is that they give you great editorial freedom. They have never called, not one executive or person or host has called up this program to say, you can't do this subject, you can't have this guest, you can't do this topic. That's the beauty of Internet radio, is the great editorial freedom you have. And I want to thank very, very much everybody at Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and TuneIn Radio for the wonderful 11 years we've had to put on a show that is one of the only ones of its kind dealing week to week, year to year, with where TV is at and where it's going. Thank you, Blog Talk, and I hope that we continue a great journey together. Well, that will do it for our anniversary edition as we now plunge into year 12 on this very website. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to all of our guests, everybody who called and participated, and all of you for tuning in. Be with us again on Friday when we'll have Neville Kidd, the cinematographer of amazing stories, joining us live from Scotland. Mike Richards, the executive producer of the new version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, now Thursday nights on ABC. And Phil Morris Jr. from the new Tyler Perry series on BT Plus, Brooke. He is one of the co-stars. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, very simple, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, anytime you like, check out our podcasts. They're available on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. And on the latter two, go to the websites of both those places, put Tamari Televised in the search bar, click, and you are in. What do you think about our program today? What do you think about the kind of guests we had on, where TV's at, where it's going? We'd love to hear from you, and we appreciate what you have to say. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. By the way, if you have an idea for a show to know that doesn't get enough attention, email it to me. If we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget, anytime you like, you follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook under Simon Applebound and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. We're on 725 followers, and we also do some special tweets giving you the latest news coverage of what's going on in the TV world. But no matter how we reach you, when you reach us, we respond. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tim Radio, or iHeartRadio. We thank everybody on the crew at Blog Talk Radio, our production associate Candace Williams, Blog Talk Radio General Manager Andy Toe, Jay Sondler, the executive content producer, and very much, especially, the co-founders of BTR, Al Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televise the fourth day by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. The free audio books and the 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televise. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening over these last 11 years on Blog Talk Radio, and we thank you in advance for the listening you'll give us from here forward. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please stay safe, stay well, and remember, we're all in this together, and we will lick this pandemic. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.